You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
So I was sitting on the couch. It was about 5:30 p.m. and I turned on Netflix and I pressed Unsolved Mysteries. And you guys wouldn't believe it, but Robert Stack, he just wasn't there. You don't know where he was.
From your intro alone, you are not as committed.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nathan. And on a less somber note, let's talk about Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, every time I think about Unsolved Mysteries, though, like, my version of the intro is always just on June or July 6th or whatever, on the night of that time, so-and-so turned on Netflix and then ended up watching the thing on channels and then was like, what the fuck is this shit?
So, just talking there is Mike.
Yes, this is Mike.
Also, we got Terminator 3 himself, Trevor.
What's up, guys? Unsolved Mysteries, ride or die.
Probably die.
And
maybe
we got...
you can help solve this mystery.
And we got Adrian.
Yellow. Back again.
And we have a latecomer, Doggett.
Detective Doggett on the case.
Took him, Doggett.
If you have any information on the whereabouts of Doggett, please call.
let me give you guys a sneak peek. It's the cops.
ACAB. Anyways, so guys, I don't have as much, like, can you even call it nostalgia for this show?
You absolutely can. If it showed up in a movie as a gag, it has nostalgia to it.
Shut up, old man.
If anybody's ever seen Basketball, they know that it definitely was in there.
No, I watched like episodes here and there on TV, and you know, it was just another kind of spooky crime show with occasional, not sci-fi twists, but they might as well be.
There were a few of them, actually, but they're usually, it started that way kind of thing. Here's the thing I guess I'll explain about the original Unsolved Mysteries, because I'm just going to throw this out there right away so I don't end up keep interrupting on accident. So the original Unsolved Mysteries was a series of vignettes that was just Robert Stack showing up and going, here's what happened, here's a cheesy-ass reenactment. If you know anything, please call us. And it was usually like 10 minutes each throughout it. And a lot of them were stupid as shit. Because they would be like, hey, do you know where Bigfoot is? Please call us. This kind of thing, like, for the most part. And then there were actual serious mysteries where they're like, this person super murdered everybody. And then no one found out where they went. Or some of them were like, this person was on a call. They dropped their phone and then no one ever saw them again.
I'm catching on your tone that it didn't live up to the nostalgic lenses that you had for the original show.
It didn't, because the issue, or not even the issue, I'm just going to, let's, I guess synopsis-y is that this is a true crime thing, but the thing that it's just normal, like it's any other true crime show though. Like if you've ever watched one, they interview people, they explain what the mystery thing is, or not even mystery, just they explain what's going on, and then that's it. There's nothing special about this version other than that they have a small image of Robert Stack at the end of the intro.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh my god, guys, I'm just going to be honest. We live in the age of true crime podcasts. This shit does not cut it anymore. This belongs in daytime television. I don't really know how this kind of made it to streaming. It's kind of weird.
Well, and on top of it all, it's important to contextualize that Unsolved Mysteries, when it came out in the 80s, was not just another true crime show. It was the true crime show. this is kind of the one that would kick off a lot of things. You had Rescue 911 after that, America's Most Wanted, which would eventually lead into Cops.
You just made me hate the show so much just in just that one, and that one line right there is like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, fuck this show.
Like, it was the prototypical true crime show, and I think that nostalgia market is there. I think that exists. And so when they got some of the original crew back on, like, it's a really high profile crime show. But at the same time, the original and this is like every other true crime show. But you know, it's kind of a weird Ouroboros where it started the trend and now it's just in that same trend with the relaunch and isn't really blazing any new territory.
So, like, all the Terminator movies slowly became Terminator knockoff movies?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what happened. This is the Terminator salvation of Unsolved Mysteries, is what you're saying.
Oh, that was the one I liked the most out of them. No offense, Trevor.
Well, the thing is, I couldn't remember the name of the ones after that because they were all really bad.
See? All right. So, we're going to go from episode to episode and say how we feel about it. Yell out a conspiracy theory. Just kidding. Don't do that.
Quick preface. For some reason, when I watched it, it showed in a different order, and I have no idea why.
Exactly. That's my first conspiracy theory, is that Netflix is using your browsing history and to hook you. If you've been visiting UFO shit, it seems like a lot of people are getting the UFO episode first.
That's what happened to me. I got the UFO episode first, and then it played in a weird order. And then, because it ended on one of the cases that's the most serious, in my opinion, kind of, or one of the most serious ones on there. So I think my enjoyment might have been different than everybody else's.
Honestly, if you're listening to this and you know you're going to watch Unsolved Mysteries regardless, start with that UFO episode. Start with the UFO episode and then kind of build your way down. Because the way that I saw it, the most serious episode was right before the UFO episode, which made me just not give a single shit about this guy who might have been abducted.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good idea. If you watch that alien episode first, it prepares you for how boring half the show is.
He's not wrong, though. No.
Guys, can I make an admission really quick? When I first signed up for this review, I thought this was BuzzFeed Unsolved. And halfway through the alien episode, I really wish this was BuzzFeed Unsolved. I was like, man, I wish there was some banter going on right now.
Well, to kind of add to that, I'm not someone who had nostalgia for the original show. I remember the theme scaring me the way it scared a lot of people. But I was born in 1993, and I fell into the wave of, like, the trashiest true crime shows like that. What was that one, like Factor Fiction, with the guy who was like, you ever done this, you ever met a clown at a bar and stuff?
Yeah,
like that,
with Riker.
Yes, there we go. Like that's what I watched that the haunted show with Linda Blair. So when I went into this, I thought, like, oh yeah, okay, Unsolved Mysteries, sure. I like weird conspiracy theories. The first episode opens up with, like, yeah, my husband got killed and we're not sure why, and that kind of threw me for a loop. Like, oh, this is true crime. Unlike other Netflix documentaries where you think it's gonna go somewhere, and then they're like, well, you know what, you figure it out. This one at least tells you that, yeah, we don't know what happened, but if you do, you know, let us know.
As the resident Unsolved Mysteries fanboy, I liked this. It was all right. I'm not in love with it. I told my fellow Unsolved Mysteries fans to check it out, and like I got exactly what I was advertised. That first episode, though, I watched Unsolved Mysteries as a kid because when you live in central Wyoming, that was a good outlet to get, like, your horror goose, you know, off of broadcast television. You know, you, instead of watching an R-rated film that you couldn't always get your hands on or something like that, we had broadcast television, and Unsolved Mysteries was our scary stories for the night. And so this one, like, maybe it's just because I'm older, but, like, I didn't have that overwhelming sense of dread that Unsolved Mysteries used to give me, which is not a surprise. But I will say this first episode is the only one I lost sleep over, because I still cannot wrap my head around it.
Yeah, and this first episode is called Mystery on the Rooftop and is about an aspiring filmmaker named Ray Rivera who he went missing and then some weird shit happened with him crashing through the ceiling of this hotel called the Belvedere.
He went through metal because he fell that hard. I was like, fuck.
You guys are thinking too hard. He's obviously Colossus.
Oh my God.
And he left a cryptic ass note with like his favorite M. Night Shyamalan films and like, I don't know, like it's just a weird ass note to leave like neatly folded behind your desk. How did you guys feel about this episode?
Well, I was just gonna say it's exactly what you guys were saying. It was one of those ones that I definitely was like, what the fuck happened? I was like thinking about it all day, and then the next day, and then the next day kind of thing. It was one of those ones that's like, man, like if somebody I knew died that way and in some kind of crazy way, I would probably never be able to really get through it because you just don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's a really odd episode. I mean, like it is engaging. I was interested in what happened because the circumstances are so bizarre, but it also felt kind of meandering. Like it tries to take it a certain, it gives you information that at the end you don't really need, but it does make it a little interesting. Like we mentioned the fact that he actually was an M. Night Shyamalan fan and he wrote a big ass list full of names of like different people in Hollywood, and you kind of think like, oh shit, is this some kind of like Illuminati Freemasons type thing? And they kind of hint at that, but then they're like, oh, it probably led to nothing. It wasn't really anything.
What grabbed me is there's basically two different mysteries going on here. You've got the weird conspiracy mystery where this guy is involved with some shady business dealings with a friend, and the friend doesn't want to talk to police. He's stalling with investigators. But then you also have, what are the actual physics of what happened? Where did his body come from? Was he pushed? Was he killed? And so there's a lot going on here. It all held my attention, but I get the note where there's a lot to take in, and it doesn't all lead to the same place.
Why didn't his cell phone break, and was it a Nokia?
Yeah, it most likely was a Nokia. But yeah, the thing about, well, that comes to the fact that one of the reasons I have issues with this version of the show is Unsolved Mysteries was, it gave you just the information you needed to be freaked out by it, and then it just sort of, and then it would just let you decide with it, but it was never that long kind of thing when it came to one exact mystery. And the thing is that, like, it was interesting because there wasn't a lot of information, but it also goes on too long because there isn't a lot of information. Like, it's just a weird, ironic thing.
I felt like even the information was just focused in different areas, because I was just more interested in the place that employed him. But, you know, staying away from being a true crime podcast.
Well, I think that's part of why it is, because those guys clammed up so quickly. Like, they just isn't anything. Like, they probably aren't allowed to say anything about necessarily what they're doing either way. Because that's the thing, is you constantly find yourself going, I want to know what's going on over there. And then they'll interview a person going, I want to know what's going on over there. They just want to let me, kind of thing. And you're just like, well, fuck. Like, where do you go from there after that point?
Let's cut to the chase. These episodes shouldn't be longer than 20 minutes. They have a lot of shots that I hate, which is a person staring off into something. I'm like, no, we don't have time for this. I have six more of you to get through. I am not putting up with this shit. What the fuck, Unsolved Mysteries?
How did you guys feel about the next episode, 13 minutes, about hairstylist Patrice Andreas?
Just the creepiness of the stepfather and his behavior in that. Like, this was my salacious tea-sipping Joe Exotic Tiger King episode where I'm just watching this for the sheer shock factor of some of the people.
Yeah, I love the whole, I won't let anybody touch these ashes, puts them back in his closet.
He's so evil. Like, it's like he's a cartoon villain level of evil. And what I loved is when they'll talk to her son, Pistol, and he'll say something, and it'll cut to him going, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Kind of thing. This episode is the closest I feel to original Unsolved Mysteries, because there's so much with it, and there's so much going on. that this is the only ones I can point to and be like, this one deserved to be as long as it was.
Well, this episode also kind of kept up the theme that, like, oh, this is kind of tragic. Like, this isn't fun watching this in the slightest bit. If anything, it's, like, pretty upsetting from the first two episodes. It's not, I mean, not to spoil anything, but it's not until the third episode where it gets a little, like, we're kind of stepping into more spooky territory in regards to at least the circumstances of what happened. But the first two episodes are, like, just kind of, like, sad.
I think it depends on the narrator, the person. Like, they get the real people for this, right?
Yeah, they get the actual people. They talk to them, and that's my issue, is that it's too much of a normal true crime documentary, whereas every other OG, you know, Unsolved Mysteries would have Robert Stack explaining the situation, and then it would cut to the person, and then he would explain what they said, and there'd be like a terrible reenactment during it. Kind of thing. There's not really that many reenactments in this, to be honest. There's like a handful of them at most.
The entertainment level of the episode depends on how good that person is at telling a story, really, what it comes down to.
There's that too, actually.
This is my first review with Doggett, and I feel like he should review all the, or he should have narrated all the episodes.
I would have watched the shit out of it. Doggett was just going, he did it. He totally did it. Just like
No, it would have got boring after 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, it would have been like,
the cops did it. Over in 2 minutes.
The dad. The other dad. Okay, every male figure in the show, they're all murderers.
It would have been over in like 20 minutes. Like, it would have been like, here's the mystery. And the ending would be, he did it. Don't bother calling me with your information.
Well, and so that's what this series is missing, is it's, you've got the Robert Stack, and then if you ended up watching this after the turn of the millennium, they kind of re-ran it with new host segments with Dennis Farina. But you had that stately voice that knew how to tell a story, that could move things along, that could get the pace going. In this, you're right. You're relying almost entirely on the recollections of other people, and that leads to a different pace.
All right, so moving on to the next episode. House of Terror.
Is this the French one?
This is the French one.
This shit's boring.
Yes, this is the French one. Yeah, I'm not going to bother with the pronunciations, but a wife and his four children and their two dogs were all shot to death. And the husband is nowhere to be found and may have worked for the DEA. I don't know.
The only defense that one of his friends has that he didn't do it is the fact that the dad had a bad back, and there's no way he could have, like, dug up these holes, which it's like, he probably could have. He might have been faking his bad back.
I think that was his attorney, too. Like, already laying down the defense in case they find him.
It was his attorney. And my favorite part was his friend looking at the DEA letter, and he's like, yeah, that sounds like something he'd write. It's dumb as shit, and it sounds like something he'd write, kind of thing.
Well, and I'm going to be the voice. I liked this one. I thought it was interesting. But it boils down to rich guy is embarrassed and murders family. And at the end of the day, like, fuck, do we really need to hear the story of a rich white aristocrat? A literal, I think he was nobility.
He was a count. He was a literal
this
count.
This is any given episode of My Favorite Murder.
Well, that's the thing. That's the main reason I have an issue with this episode, is that it is just any other true crime. Like, there's no actual mystery in this episode. It's just, here's all the murder stuff, and then it decides to give you a mystery in the last, like, 5 minutes. Like, it decides all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this is the actual mystery. It's like, well, he's gone. No one has seen him since. It's like, well, that's not a mystery. That's just, we don't know where he went.
That's just, like, y'all that's can't not... find him.
But you do have to understand, there is a goal here that they're hoping the visibility of this story will get somebody to recognize him in 6 months, call it in, and then we'll get an update episode where they go and arrest him. And that's usually, I don't know what the plan is for this series, but that's how the old series works.
This in, Ted Cruz arrested.
I was going to say, I think what Netflix is planning is that once this has enough views, they know the answers and they will reveal and find these people for us.
Yeah, my main issue still comes down to the fact that, like, the way, since Robert Stack is has all this stuff, or, like, you listen to Robert Stack the entire time, and the fact is that we didn't need to know as much as we did to get that part to happen, the part of, you know, getting him his face out there. It's like, well, you're just telling me the story about this and then deciding at the last second that you want that to be the thing. And like, that's why a lot of these just deserve to be shorter a lot of the times, because if that was the actual plan, that's why the old ones worked, because they weren't that long to begin with, and then it would just end with, have you seen this guy? And then, like in this one, it goes to the their website, unsolved.com, I think is what it's called.
Let's talk about the most compelling one, No Ride Home.
Nathan, I have an honest-to-God question for you for this one. Because I've heard this happen to a lot of people who party with white people. Do you guys just abandon each other in parties all the time? Is that a thing you guys do?
You know what? I've been abandoned so many times at parties.
What is that? Who does
it's
that?
It's kind of true, actually, is the thing. Of my experience with it, it is a thing that'll happen, is that like they'll just be like, well, he'll find his way back, kind of thing.
One time I was literally getting cereal in the kitchen. My friend's brother was just like, yeah, my mom came home and I think the cops are about to come in a second. And I'm just like, what? And I walked out the back door and I'm not even going to...
Unsolved mysteries.
This one's really insane because it's just, you feel bad for everyone involved. Like, all of the friends really thought things wouldn't happen. They were just like, we went to a party, things, and we all saw him, and we were like, he'll be fine, and then that was the end of it. And then it wasn't. And it's just, it's really heartbreaking seeing everybody's just react to it.
This episode was unbearable until the dude's childhood friend came up. Because he just came up and said, what the fuck is wrong with all you? You left him at a party where he didn't know anyone, where you knew people were fucking racist.
Like an hour away from where he was, like where you guys live. And I love the fact that that was a thing that happened. And what I liked about this, compared to some of the other ones, is the friends actually talked on mic. Is so many of these end up with them going, and then they decided not to talk to us kind of thing. Like at the end, but these, everybody involved was like, I want to know what the fuck happened. And I was really glad that they were there for that.
I found it very intriguing the amount of people who were at that party who you haven't heard anything from any of them, which I find to be very interesting.
This is the first episode that I felt like, oh, this is that horrifying unsolved mysteries that I've been hearing about. It just so happens, you know, it's about a hate crime. We're watching this in a time where issues about race are extremely escalated, and it's like really uncomfortable. It's really horrifying that this happened to this kid. And if there's one that like we really want to find out, you know, solve this issue, it's probably this one.
And I think it's one that could easily be solved.
And it's also a shame that at least in the way that I watch the series, this one came before an episode that just felt completely inappropriate coming after this one.
The good news for me is that this was the last one I saw. This was how mine ended.
Which it should be. This should be the last episode, to be honest.
The next episode is the UFO episode about the townspeople of Berkshire County, Massachusetts, talking about, we've seen a UFO. How do you guys feel about this one?
This episode is the definition of, like, this should have been 10 minutes long. Like,
I'm sorry that you thought you got abducted, but there's an issue that needs to be solved, and this ain't it. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't care. I did not care.
It's like,
about this
what is there to solve? Like, they can't arrest the aliens. Like, it's like, what do you want to happen? It's like, somebody's going to come forward and just say, I saw it too, and that's the end of it. That's all the information you're going to get. The alien isn't going to show up and be like, well, this is why I did it. Like, that's not going to be a thing.
Oh, you don't know that. That alien might have to go on an apology tour later. anything can happen. It's 2020, man.
Yeah, the alien's actually big friends with J.K. Rowling.
It was E.T.
Well, and again, I will step in as an Unsolved Mysteries scholar and say, I mean, there's just a precedent for it. You know, the original series was an anthology series. You got a murder. You got a guy who's looking for his lost twin. You've got a weird UFO episode. You've got a ghost story. And then you've got, like, a burglary or a fraud.
Have they ever had episodes about magnets?
Probably.
No, they never did solve magnets.
The thing is that, like, that's my issue with it, is that even in those episodes, it never took up the entire episode, for the most part. For the most part, it took up maybe 20 minutes, at most. And usually because it involved terrible reenactments, as I mentioned. But this one is an entire 40-some-odd minutes of white people going, and then I woke up, and I didn't know what happened in the last 3 hours. I'm like, okay, cool? Question mark?
I'll just watch Close Encounters. Next up is the last one in the series, Missing Witness, which was the one with...
The mother did it. Everyone says the mother does it.
This is an Ozark spinoff.
I don't know, guys. You should really hear her side of the story. She really loves that boy.
Yeah, that's why she won't tell her side of the story.
We were talking a little bit off mic about this one, and yeah, this one's just frustrating because there's nothing really to solve here. Like, all of the circumstances are pointing in one direction. It's just there is no legal evidence. And I, you know, this may be another one where they're hoping that an episode will kick something loose. But like, it's really clear who did it, what they did, why they did it. And it even seems like the police know that.
Yeah, everything is laid out.
Yeah, it just becomes unproven mysteries.
Well, there was an aspect to it where, okay, did you guys know off the bat the episode was about murder? So not knowing that, I was a bit curious, okay, because the episode starts with the daughter saying, I didn't know my mom could do that. It's like, okay, well, now I'm in for it. What's going to happen? And you get a cool little story of, like, a female version of Nathan just jumping around from relationship to relationship.
Where does this reputation come from?
And anyways,
I don't know. But... yeah, because the thing about this episode is this is one of those half and halves, because for me, like, I feel like... It's not an unsolved mystery. It's just we have everything laid out. The only thing we don't have is the proof. But I feel like this is one of those episodes that definitely feels like this needs to be out there to find something that could be knocked loose. And so I'm okay with it.
That's ultimately the purpose of the show, which I'm kind of happy that it exists in that sense, that I really do hope that this brings to light certain events. Not the dude with the UFO, fuck all that, but for all the other ones.
It has unintended consequences, though. Like, that mom's Tinder profile is, like, going off the charts right
now.
Oh,
my God.
Jesus.
They know
Christ
she puts out. That's all he has to say about that.
Are you gonna risk it all?
On that note...
She's also a friend of J.K. Rowling.
We are gonna go to final thoughts. Let's start with Doggett.
I think it's pretty obvious I don't like this show that much. But there are some good episodes here that I was thoroughly enjoying. One specifically more than others, obviously. But God damn it, I hate this because the show's going to make me be biased. Because after the show's coming out, all I'm seeing are stories of like hundreds of people who have tips on some of these things. It's like, well, shit. Fuck, you just proved that the show is necessary, though, to an extent. And maybe they're not entertaining, but I guess these are still people who suffered. And maybe it's not for our entertainment, but to actually get information. So, you know, for that aspect, you know, bad presentation aside, I'll reluctantly give this a 6 out of 10 unsolved mysteries.
And Mike?
As much as I was a big fan of the original Unsolved Mysteries. I used to watch marathons of it consistently for years because it was one of those ghost story kind of things as well as just mysteries. Like, I was a big fan of those. Like, some of my favorites were things that you weren't sure what happened and you kind of wish you did at the end of the day. And I feel like that's what's important about these episodes, is that a lot of these are out there not because they're entertaining per se, but because somebody wants to know something. And that's the thing that I will definitely give it 100%. Well, if you're the kind of guy who wants to watch these because you have morbid curiosity for some reason, these probably aren't the ones that you're going to be like super into. And it's the run of the mill true crime sort of thing. There's a lot of gaps of people staring into the distance that I'm pretty sure were originally designed for somebody to talk over. There's a lot of just gaps that you feel like somebody was supposed to talk this whole time, but they decided against that and made something super run-of-the-mill. The mysteries are intriguing, depending. Some of the people you may never forget, whether for good or bad reasons. They said they're going to make more of these. I'll probably end up watching them, begrudgingly, only because I want to see what happens with some of these. I would give it 6.5 out of 10 times I missed Robert Stack.
And Rise of the Machines?
So I'm an Unsolved Mysteries fan. I enjoyed these. I will agree. And it's a problem that I can't solve. I think a narrator would have benefited this show The problem is how do you fill those shoes? People have these memories of Robert Stack and his voice. Take nothing away from Dennis Farina. I really liked the guy. I really liked him as an actor, but you couldn't help but watch the Millennium Unsolved Mysteries and say, well, he's no Robert Stack. I got a lot of what I thought I wanted from Unsolved Mysteries. The longer format, I didn't mind as much, but I do notice it's a lot of murder, and where are our separated lost loves? Where are our con artists and people in disguise? Like, some of those were really good episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, too, and this is really dark, with the exception of that UFO episode, which is... wasn't my favorite, but I'm not nearly the paranormal freak that I was when I was a kid. Ultimately, though, I think I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 belted trench coats. I really enjoyed it, and if you liked Unsolved Mysteries, I would advise you to check out the Matthew McConaughey episode of the classic 90s series, which is a pretty typical, very good Unsolved Mysteries that over the years has found resolution. So... it's out there. Seek it out. I think the reruns are streaming on various platforms.
Is it about who smoked the most pot with all those bongo drums?
No. Nathan, stop being dumb. He went to the crossroads and he sold his soul to have an amazing second wind of a career.
Yeah. So I don't have nostalgia for the original show. And I wasn't entirely sure what I was getting into. I just knew it was a mystery show that was kind of true crime, and people loved it. So watching it as a fan of true crime shows, I was, in terms of entertainment value or of like being interested in the story, I was on and off with the first few episodes, especially when they just suddenly jump and then it's like, oh, we're in France now. It's hard to get invested, especially if you like really, really, really got to pay attention. I do like that. Like we mentioned, it's raising awareness to these cases that should get solved. They should be brought back into light, especially the one in episode 4, the hate crime. Like, if that would get solved and that being the result of the show being made, then it would have all been worth it, to be honest. But it's also a shame that whoever designed the episodes to fall in the order that they did, I thought that was a complete misstep. If you're going to watch this, watch the UFO episode 1 first, because it does not belong after the hate crime episode. And that kind of makes me dislike it a bit. I didn't care about the UFO episode, and not knowing about the original show, I figured, like, well, if they're going to do paranormal stuff, maybe that should be its own spinoff. It's fine. I guess I would rather see, if I'm going to watch something paranormal, I'd rather just stick to paranormal episodes, because it seems kind of inappropriate in a way. It's not a badly made show, and if you already know that you're kind of gonna be a fan of this, you probably are. I like what it's trying to do. I just hope it gets better in the second season. I would give this 3. I have no kind of representation for this rating out of 5.
I'd give it an easy 6.5 out of 10.
Damn, cut right to the chase there.
Yeah, no, I gotta cut right to the chase.
The mystery is why Nathan cut to the chase. I'll never tell.
I'll tell you guys a few clues that could lead you to me getting to the chase. It was fluff. I mean, I guess it's not fluff. It was really serious. Fuck. A few of them kept my attention. A few of them didn't. One of them I just found to be absolutely ridiculous. I really don't have much memories of the original Unsolved Mysteries.
Because you're under 30.
That's true. And I'm also the core on this one, so shut the fuck up, Doggett.
What I will say, though, you know, you mentioned the fact that it's got a purpose. And, you know, these are put out there for entertainment. This is for-profit entertainment. I'm not kidding myself that this has some kind of benevolent, like, this is first and foremost for people to watch and make money. But, you know, when you mention something like My Favorite Murder or, you know, the myriad of true crime podcasts out there or true crime books, this at least does the bare minimum to offer a platform to try and collect tips and information, which is a hell of a lot more than any of the other ones do. So I got to admit, like, my guilt, my true crime guilt felt a lot better with that.
Yeah, that's how I felt as far as like giving it a 6.5. I'm glad that it's doing some good, even though most of it is just, you know, kind of trashy entertainment. Definitely the UFO episode for trashy entertainment, but yeah.
Maybe it's kind of hard to like this because half these mysteries are not as cool as Johnny Neal's story of driving down a highway and being chased by a car ghost. What the fuck was that? We don't talk about that enough. That's oneofus.net lore.
If you guys have any information about where Robert Stack is or who is driving the ghost car that chased Johnny Neal, call 1-800-876-5353.